Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and today is a live, December the 25th, live edition of Prophecy Reality. And so just want to say happy holy days to everyone out there, and always remember that every day when you belong to Christ, every day is holy unto the Lord. And a lot of people put me down for saying happy holidays or holy days instead of merry that, you know, Christmas. But I'm not a Catholic. I don't do any kind of mass. No matter what they call it, I'm not a Catholic. But let every day be holy, a holy day or a holiday unto the Lord. You take a word like a holiday, and people hear it, but they don't hear holy. They don't hear holy at all. So everything's kind of lost, and it's just kind of something you set aside for one part of the year. But for all of us true believers, all of us blood-bought believers, the elect of God, every day is holy. So we don't want to reserve it for a certain part of the year. And so I don't do all the pagan festivities. And, you know, I'm not going to condemn anybody if they have a tree or want to put up lights or whatever. You know, that's fine. It doesn't bother me at all. What are we going to talk about today? Well, not too many people here. I guess they're all unwrapping their presents under the tree, right? Okay. Well, I wanted to talk about something. There's something going on in the world. And if you go to your Google or whatever your search engine is and you put in disappearing cash, you'll find something rather peculiar comes up. So I'm going to take a look at some of these articles here. I've got one from Zero Hedge. And it says, hundreds of billions in gold and cash are quietly disappearing. Something strange is going on at the same time that the central banks are injecting $100 billion each month in electronic money to crush volatility and ramp markets. A similar amount in hard physical currency and precious metals is literally disappearing. And so he goes on to talks about gold purchases are up over the last year or two by the central banks. Let's see, it looks like they bought billions of dollars worth of gold? Yeah, they don't tell you. They just have a number here, so I don't know. But it says, looks like gold purchases are by central banks are twice from January to October of 2019. Of what they were from January to October of 2018. What that means, I don't know. But, you know, if the gold's disappearing, we know where it's disappearing to. The central banks are buying it since they doubled their purchases of, tons. Yeah, 1,200 tons or 57 billion of unexplained gold flows in just the last 3 years. It says, but it was another even more bizarre discovery by Goldman. What do we make of it? And the disappearing cash. What do we make of that? And here's another article here. This is from PJ Media. Why is the world's cash disappearing? Banks are asking, but no one seems to know. So are people putting this under their mattresses or digging holes in the ground? And you know, you can understand why cash would be disappearing, especially with Western European banks paying negative interest rates. That means you put your money in the bank and they're going to take some of it away from you. So it makes more sense to start squirreling cash away. And that may be it. Or maybe those billionaires out there. We've got a lot of billionaires now. You know, think about this quite often though. If all these billionaires, they're billionaires because they have they have billions of dollars, right? But where do they keep it? Like in a vault or at a bank? Or, I mean, maybe they're buying pallet loads of money and, you know, squirreling it away in a private vault somewhere. And they're taking all this money out of circulation. So actually what they're doing by taking all this money out of circulation, these billionaires, and squirreling it away, they're giving the opportunity for the government to print money or create digital money to fill the void of what's been taken out of the, of what is currency. You know, currency, that would be what is currently, you know, out there in the, in the money ether or whatever you would call it. I'm sure they have these, financial whizzes. They have special words for all these things I'm trying to say. I'm just not an economic expert, so I don't know what the right words are. And let's see, the Wall Street Journal also has an article. So you can check these out. World's cash is disappearing, and bankers aren't sure where it went. Now, if the bankers aren't sure where it went, check your pockets. Society is increasingly going cashless, but banknotes are more in demand. Bankers search for clues. This got some guy up here with a magnifying glass looking at a euro bill. So whether people are squirreling it away, or maybe it's a banker's plot. I mean, you know, they pretty much caused the first worldwide recession back there, you know, 100 or so years ago, well, 100 years ago, less than 100 years ago, 1929, whenever it was, when the first Great Depression hit. We know that they were withdrawing money and making it scarce. And that's a problem if money is scarce. But you see, at the same time, you know, a few people are now talking about, why aren't we balancing the budget instead of talking about, you know, impeaching Trump or whatever. Really? Balancing the budget? I mean, how is that going to work? You know, we have nothing to balance. There's no real money out there. You know, that money you have in your pocket, you don't own it. It's not yours. At least before digital money, at least you got to hold on to a piece of paper, but it wasn't yours. I mean, why do you think if you got $10,000 on your person and you're in your automobile, you know, on your way to an auction to purchase another automobile or a work of art or a home or whatever, and you're carrying $10,000 cash, and the local banditos, the highwaymen, stop you with their, you know, flashing lights and siren, and then they casually ask you if you have any cash, and you're an idiot if you say, well, I've got $10,000, because they'll steal it from you. And they'll steal it with impunity. As a matter of fact, you have to fight to get it back, even though you haven't committed a crime, just for carrying cash. Huh, yeah, think about that. But it happened. But it's not your money. They get to make the rules about what they do with their money. And they say, their rules say, if one of their policy enforcers, one of their highwaymen, banditos on the road stop you and find you with a bunch of cash, that they could confiscate it. That's their rules now. So it's not yours. You don't own it. That's why you have to fight to get it back, because you don't own it. Now, we used to own our money. You know, America was founded upon the principle that the people would own their money, and that money would be defined by weight in precious metals. And it was, you know, we had the Coinage Act, and, you know, an ounce of gold was $20, and each dollar was so many grains of gold or silver. So they used precious metals, the silver for the change, you know. But now, who owns their money? And you go out there with real money that you own in your pockets, and most people don't know what to do with it. You can't go into, you know, Save Mart or Walmart or one of these marts out there. You can't walk in there with gold and spend it, can you? But you can go to some of these smaller markets and spend it. They know what it is. They'll look up on their computer the going rate for it, and they'll exchange it for you. And I think that's where it may go, if we do have our cash crash, whatever. And so they may be setting us up for the the final crash, the one that they really want to bring about the mark of the beast. And man, you can see where it's going with the way things are going and the way the world hates, especially Christianity. I mean, when you have liberals embracing Islam, you know, and I mean, they're notorious for murdering homosexuals, whatever, throwing off buildings and allowing husbands to murder their wives or whatever for small disobedience. But they'd rather embrace them than the Protestant Christianity that was really part of the founding of this country, that, you know, that gave us the liberties that made this country great. Yeah, they'd rather embrace anything else but the truth. And that's the point. So will 2020 be the year? Were the bankers wrong when they speculated? Well, they weren't wrong. You know, in 1988, when they put on the... Yeah, that one. And they said that the world would be digital. That was their target date. They said 30 years from now. So we set 2018 as their target date. We talked about that in the past, and I wrote about that in my book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. I got a whole chapter on the Mark of the Beast and their plan. And their plan is still, you know, in order, and things are working perfectly for it. And this whole disappearing cash phenomena in this year, right before the 2020, and they have, you know, like the United Nations, they have their 2030 initiative. So this is going to be it. It's going to happen sometime in the next 10 years. That would be my speculation. But it's a pretty good bet. And this disappearing cash is just one more thing. And, you know, all I can say to all of you out there is use cash, please. As much cash as you can. I still use cash for most of my expenditures every month. Some things like on my online expenses that I have to use, you know, online currency for. But yeah, use cash. And make sure that if you have a lot of cash, unlike me, if you're a billionaire, a millionaire, or even a 100,000-aire, which I'm none of those, okay? I have to admit, I'm just a poor boy over here, just barely getting by month to month. But I do have some stash and some silver, you know, the poor man's gold. So that, you know, if we go into this system failure that I believe that they're really trying hard, because I believe that the Antichrist has always wanted what the Bible says that he's going to get at the end. Read it for yourself at the end of Revelation chapter 13, where the Antichrist requires everyone to have his mark or his number or the name of his number or some way to worship him, in order to have the privilege of buying and selling in his monetary system, which with digital currency will be total control. So I see the day that they're going to outlaw cash. And is it going to happen in the next 10 years? Yes, where everyone has to bring their, if you want your cash, you can keep your cash, but they're going to set a date when it is worth nothing. And they're going to make unreported barters illegal. Yeah, you're going to have to report all of your bartering. Yeah, it's going to be illegal trade for you to barter without reporting it to the government. And here's the whole thing is, you know, they're going to say that everyone needs to pay their fair share in taxes. But there's no real money. You know, when gold and silver was money, then the government needed some of your money to operate, because they had none of their own. They produced nothing, and they relied upon the people to produce it. Okay? But now the money is not real. They just print it out of thin air, or they create digits out of thin air. So the government doesn't really need to run it down an inquisition on all the citizens of the world anymore. Really? They don't. It's all digital. You know, every time someone gets paid, they can just automatically take 50% of everybody's pay if it's all digital. Nobody needs to pay or report any taxes. They just make it one equal thing across. No, but they want to play these mind games, these financial games, in order to control people. See, because they want to know what each and every person is spending all of their hard-earned labor on. So they want to run down an inquisition, because that's all it is. I mean, you fill out your 1040 inquisition form yet this year? Oh, well, you got until April Fool's Day to do it. April Fool's Day. I think that's April 15th, isn't it? Yeah. The Antichrist wants to know. The Antichrist wants full control. But if the money, you don't even own it, and they create it out of thin air, they can just create what they want. Or they just take 50% from you. I mean, they're already doing that. I mean, I know that, you know, at the beginning of this century, you know, a mere 20 years ago, I know that everything costs twice what it did then, now. Now everything has doubled in price. Everything. And some things have more than doubled in price. You know, I remember after 9/11, gas was a 99 cents a gallon. What is it now? It's 3-something a gallon. You know, it's because people stopped driving. I don't know what happened there. But you get the idea. So gas is like 3 times what it was at the turn of the century. Like I said, I go out and buy a battery. It's twice what it cost me to buy it 4 or 5 or 6 years ago, whatever the life of the battery was. Every time I turn around, even in a year, some things have doubled. So this hyperinflation is ramping up. You all know what I'm talking about, regardless of what the government says. Oh, there's only 3% inflation rate. Yeah, right. You know, if you got billions of dollars, or if you're working for the government and you're making, you know, 50, 60, 100, 200, 300,000 a year, depending on what part of the government you're in, well, you're doing fine, you know. But try being out here like us poor folks, who are only earning, you know, maybe $1,000 or $2,000 a month. We got to pay all our bills, plus everything it costs me to run First Amendment radio with less than $2,000 a month. That's comfortable, you know. Do you think I want to report to the government all the details of my minute, below poverty level transactions for the whole year? I mean, why are they inquiring with me? Why don't they inquire with, like I said, they don't really need to inquire anymore. There's no real money. It's all a scam. It's all just about control. They say that the economy is doing great. Well, must be great for a bunch of other people. I'm telling you, yeah, it must be. Yeah, it must be great if you're playing if you're a socialist. What you think about that? Okay, what else are we going to have to talk about today? Well, thinking about the last year, anybody want to talk about what has happened over the last year? Do these things really surprise you? Things like Chick-fil-A? And how about Christianity Today? And it just shows me how much the three frog spirits are permeating into the visible church on earth, that they're all left and right embracing, you know, the faux marriage thing. I mean, you see, if it was me, I would tell people, don't even bother to go down and get a state license. I mean, you're just putting yourself on an equal par with those that need a license from God but can't get it. You know, and you go to the state for something. You don't need a license from the state to do what God says you can do. God says men and women should get married and have children and raise up and nurture those children and the admonition of the Lord, You know, you don't need a license from the state to do that. God already gives you license. It's written in the book. Get the book. The book is your license. You can do everything that God says you can do. And what he says you can't do, well, you need to repent about those things. And you need to conform, you know, your mind and your heart and your thinking to the image that God wants you, to the image of his only begotten son. That's what you need to do. Repent, the kingdom is at hand. It's only those that want to break God's law that need a license from the state. But still, that doesn't, you know, that's, you're going to stand before the great judge on, you know, that great day of God Almighty, you know, and the second resurrection. And where, what will be reserved for you is the second death. Yeah, that's right. The second death. Because you're going to stand up before God and say, well, look, the state gave me a license to kill my child before it was born. The state gave me a license to marry, you know, some other guy, or if you're a woman, to marry some other girl. The state gave me a license. God says, I don't recognize your license. You know, that license is no good in the kingdom of God. Here, I'm going to send you a place where that license is good. A lot of good it's going to do you there, okay? You know, repent. The kingdom is at hand. You know, don't be deceived. God's word never changes, and he never changes. And just because, you know, someone out there may be telling you things that you want to hear that feed the lusts of your flesh, that go along with the things that the world is screaming, don't believe it for a minute. Read God's word. Yeah. And repent, you know, ask God to teach you obedience to his word, to give you the strength to walk in his kingdom day by day, to renew your mind and your heart by the washing of the water of his word. That's the most important thing. Okay, you're listening to Nicholas on First Amendment Radio, and the program is Prophecy Reality. So if you got any questions, comments, you want to call in or something like that, I'll be back in a few minutes. So why don't you join me? The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more, using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, a Prophecy Reality Edition, and we are live right now on December 25th. It is a happy holy day to everybody out there. Does this sound good? It all looks good from here, but I can't listen remotely, so I think you guys are, somebody's hearing me at least out there. And that's, yeah. That's why it was nice when, Virginia Michael used to sit in the room here with me. But now he's, how's the chickens going, Michael? Yeah. It's tough, man. Trying to scratch out a living, to use a pun, with chickens and, it's difficult. I mean, I've tried different things here too to, you know, cause I'm a carpenter. So I thought, well, you know, I'll make picnic tables and bunk beds. And I think I made some picnic tables and bunk beds and, you know, was able like to sell one. Everybody's running down to Home Depot and buying these picnic table kits and they're paying more for that and they have to put it together themselves. And then it looks like junk when they're done. Rather than buy one of my picnic tables, which are great, I have to say, just because, they're made by a, journeyman carpenter, that would be me. Okay. No, you are not, says, with the Listen Live selection, that's an incomplete section, a sentence. So, still I know nothing. Yeah. He says, I'm listening to the Listen Live. Yeah, I know that works because that's the thing I do have a monitor for. Okay, stop streaming, it says. And the profile is PRN Live. So it says that, okay, let me see. It says waiting. I'm trying it right on the air live here to see if it's actually working or not. It says waiting for Prophecy Reality at 9 a.m. Okay, well, Okay, doesn't seem to be working. So maybe I'm not on, yeah, so I get nothing from anybody, huh? Nobody's listening to the live stream on audio there. Well, that's kind of disappointing to think it's not working at all and I might as well just go back to sound only, huh? because the thing is, I had some exhibits that I wanted to put on the air. And, but, you know, nobody can see them if you can't watch them on video. And the other problem I had was that, that if I put an exhibit on the audio, on the video stream, that nobody could hear it on the audio streams. And so that's going to require extra wiring and switches and soldering and stuff. And boy, you know, I have so much to do already that I have to try to figure that out. So I'm thinking maybe I should only do video streaming for this show and replay it next week on sound, because then I can edit and paste the sound in that was missing from the audio stream. Like last week, I think I played a clip, a video clip, but it didn't go over the audio stream. So it gets a little complicated here, especially being your own producer, sound guy. The Pope is, you know, and his Antichrist shadow government, they're not funneling any money my way through their various channels like they are to all of the futurists out there and all of the Jew-hating anti-Zionists like Rick Wiles. You know, I got one message for Rick Wiles. Rick Wiles, it's not the Zionists. It's the Antichrist. You know, I don't get that. That's something we can talk about. Christians are supposed to believe the Bible, and they're supposed to believe that they say that the Antichrist is going to rule before Jesus comes, and he's also going to control the money. They all believe that, especially the futurists. But they all believe it's going to be during a 7-year period, and they've been told that, well, we can't know who the Antichrist is because he won't be revealed until the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way. And of course, that's a total speculation, because there's nothing anywhere in the Bible that says that. It's just, you know, someone made that up. It sounded good, so they bought into it. The Holy Spirit ain't going nowhere. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's going to be here the whole time. That when Jesus comes, and there's not going to be a 7-year tribulation period. But, you know, like Rick Wiles thinks that the Jews are going to run. Where in the Bible does it say that the Zionists are trying to rule the world or going to take over the world? It doesn't. It says the Antichrist is. So even Rick Wiles, who says he doesn't believe in rapture, why isn't he looking for the Antichrist then? Or does he not believe that he can know who the Antichrist is either? Huh. Yeah. Yes, that's right. If it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. And we can thank God that it's not possible for the elect to be deceived when the time is critical. I mean, because we've all been deceived, and we're, you know, some of us are elect, and even all of the elect will admit that they've been deceived at some time in their life. And there may be things that, you know, I'm deceived about now. Of course, I'd like to say no, because there are things that I'll admit that I don't know. So it's only if I don't admit that I, or that I claim to know something that I don't really know, then I'm deceived. Yeah. So as God's elect, we shouldn't be doing that, or we should repent of doing things like that, of claiming to have knowledge that we don't have. Okay. That's what deception is. Claiming to have knowledge, or believing that you have knowledge that you don't really have. You know, open our eyes, Father, you know, let your Holy Spirit work in us to open our eyes to see that we don't know what we don't know. And that's that. So I'd like to say that I'm not deceived about anything, but there's a lot of things I don't know about, and I admit freely that I don't know them yet. But I will know them one day, because when I see him, I'll be like him, and I will know even as I am known. You know, I'm just quoting scripture there. I know that's the truth. You know, there's no deceit there. So if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. So what's the context of that, Corporate? I got a phone number there, or you can Skype me. And now I got Skype on a different computer, because I had to get a new computer. That's why I was off for a week, because my computer started to crash. I think the the processor went bad in it or burned in it or something. So, but now this new computer's got Windows 10 and I'm still trying to figure out how to make everything work on it. Everything's there that I need to do. It's just, you know, they put more layers to hide things from the dumb masses to keep them out of the works, the inner workings of the computer. Whereas it's just got more difficult as from XP to when everything was pretty plain and simple. To, you know, it's like looking under the hood of a 1950s or 60s car and then pulling up a new car next to it and opening the hood on it. And it's just, I mean, it's like the cavity is filled with tubes and wires and every space. But you look at the old car and there's a motor in the middle. And there's a whole bunch of space around it that isn't filled up with junk. And you go, what? Nobody can work on their car anymore because all this stuff's in the way. And we don't know what it does, but if we move something or disconnect something, you know, it'll all stop working because it's so complicated. And you go, and what, why? I just don't understand. Yeah. It's crazy. I don't know how many of you have done that, you know, pulled up, compared one, a 50s, 60s car with a 2010 automobile. So open the hood and look and you go, wow, why is all this stuff here? if it worked with this, you know, why is all this here? To save a few gallons of gas? You know, I don't really think they needed all that stuff to save a few gallons of gas. I'm sorry. Just something's wrong with this picture. Yeah. Virginia Michael keeps jumping in and out of the room. Are you working today, Michael? Yeah. Miss you over here, man. Wish you weren't so far away on the other side of the country. Yeah. Seems like everybody that has been in my studio is now on the other side of the country going, California, I'm going to get away from it as far as I can. Well, California is a beautiful place. The land is beautiful. It's God's green earth. The mountains are gorgeous. The weather is hot in the summer, but it's as cold as it gets now. Right now. We have a fairly mild winter so far. Yeah, over here. And I heat my house with wood. I've got a, you know, 100-year supply of wood out here. Well, maybe that's exaggerating a little bit, but, you know, probably enough to last me, you know, 10 or 20 years. Yes, I had those tree cutting services. I had them dumping here before they started shredding the whole tree. So they used to cut up the tree into logs and they'd shred the limbs, and then they'd come over here and dump it. So I got, for years, I had them dumping on my property. So I'm still, I got wood chips everywhere in the soil, turned in, and got a, you know, practical lifetime worth of firewood for my wood stove to keep us warm. That's nice. It's like a nice little savings account there that I don't have to pay for heating in another way. And I'll tell you, I need it too, you know. Praise God that he's provided for my retirement years that I'm in right now. Because I'm retired from the world. Yeah, pretty much. That's it. I'm retired from the whole employment system out there. I retired from that a long time ago. Just have no part in it. I'm not a socialist. I don't have their number. It's not my number. They can keep it, you know. I don't want it, really, seriously. But the problem is now I can't even get a passport. Yes, that's right. That was Obama did that to me, president. And I thought about writing Trump. Maybe he would clear that up because, you know, the whole thing about the State Department denying me a passport because I'm not a socialist. But I thought, nah. You know what? There's probably plenty of shadow government operatives in there right now. And I don't really want to bring any attention to myself. If I have to leave the country, I'll have to cross the border illegally. That's about it. Unless I can get a foreign passport. And I might be working on that. Virginia Michael says, working at home today, building a table and bench to sell. Doing any good with that? I hope so, man. Pray for your prosperity over there. I know how difficult it is and how difficult it can be to operate. Corporate, we're the same age, man. There you go. Since you're advertising it in the chat room, I'll just say, yes, we're the same age. Okay. Yes, indeed. So I don't collect Social Security. I don't got no Medicaid, Medi-Cal, Medi-anything. You know, the only thing I got is the Word of God. And I live by that the best I can. You know, I've had a few health scares. And Michael would appreciate this because he got me going. He was over here for a few years helping me out before he moved to Virginia. And he got me on salads. And he introduced me to kombucha, that tea. Not to say that I started drinking it or making it, because I haven't learned how to make it yet. But I do need some help with that, Michael, if you can help me out with that, making it. Because I think, man, I need to make my own. But the problem is I still go to the dentist, okay? I haven't seen a doctor since I think I was a teenager or a very young adult. Oh, yeah. I did. Once in my 20s, I went to a doctor because I had a sinus infection. And after that, I decided that I would never get a sinus infection again. And I never did. Okay. To this day, I've never had another sinus infection. I thought that's bad news. The doctor, you know, because you had to go to a doctor to get antibiotics, and that's a problem. Okay. And antibiotics, I guess they can be a good thing, but they can also be very dangerous because I've been going to the dentist and I got an implant this year, finally. But last year they did a bone graft from my leg to my jaw so they could put the implant in because I didn't have enough bone. And when I went in there for the surgery to put the implant in, they gave me some antibiotics. Or was it? I can't remember. No, it was the first time. When I went in there for the surgery to have the bone graft, they gave me some antibiotics. And then after the antibiotics, I had a reaction. And it's called an autoimmune reaction. I had an autoimmune reaction to the antibiotics. And, you know, weird stuff starts happening when you get autoimmune disease. And I started getting blood blisters. First, I got a big lump in my hand. It showed up in my left hand first. And then on my arm, I started getting blood blisters in my skin. You know, these big blotches. You see them on a lot of old people. And, So I started to research into that because it's scary stuff, man. And I feel sorry for people who run to the doctors to take care of it because I've doctored myself all these years. And so I started researching into it and I found out that it was autoimmune disease or an autoimmune reaction, not disease. It was a reaction to, digestive system being thrown out of kilter, my enzymes and probiotics. It was the antibiotics that just threw me all out, and so I was getting undigested proteins in my blood, and my body was attacking itself, and that's what was going on. And I was thinking, man, if that damage is going on my hand and on the skin of my arm, then it can be happening anywhere in my body. And that's a scary thought. And so I looked into it and I started, I was already taking probiotics, but that wasn't helping me with the enzyme balance, but it was the kombucha tea. I went out and bought me a bunch of kombucha tea and now I'm drinking it regularly, but it would be nice if I made my own, if I knew how. I guess I need to research it, but I have so much to do. You know, that it's hard to do, so I have to spend the money to buy it. And, but anyway, so if you get an autoimmune reaction, that's not normal. It's not supposed to happen with age. It's like a lot of people, you know, like when I was in my 40s, and we all know how many years ago that was now, that I started getting arthritis in my hands. And I worked at the radio station over in Delano, California. It was KDNO. It was one of the largest, farthest reaching broadcast stations as far as the area coverage in the state of California at the time. And when I was working there, and someone brought in some of Dr. Wallach's things, you know, packages, I think it was, he called it the pig pack, because pigs don't get arthritis, not because there's any pig in it. Clear that up right away. But anyway, so it sat there on the table for a couple months, and as I was starting to get arthritis in my hands, I'd have to wear gloves to drive to, because my hands would get cold, and then, you know, and there's this, and I'm going, people, and I'd tell people, oh, that's just age. Like, you have to accept it. You're just getting old, man. 40? I don't know. You know how old I am now. I don't think 40 was old at all. You know, 25 years go by or more, and you think 40 isn't old anymore, is it, out there, guys? No, those are young men. You're not supposed to be getting arthritis and having to wear these, you know, because I didn't start wearing these until the last at least 10 years. And really the last 5 years, I've had to, now I have to wear them to read and all the time. But until the last 5 years, it's not really normal to get that old that early, I think. Anyway, so I started taking Dr. Wallach's Ultimate Classic with 90 essential minerals and vitamins and antioxidants and all that stuff. And you know what? Within 90 days, I had no more arthritis. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to have to keep doing this because I can't afford to not do this. And so I've been taking the product ever since. And I know Michael takes something similar to it from another, but there's very little out there that's like that, you know, that's like that product. So if you're having any of those problems, I suggest, especially, you know, start young and look at it as not, I can't afford that, you know, I'm paying $45 for a quart of this stuff that I'm, you know. No, it's part of your food budget. I mean, you aren't going to stop buying food because it costs you, you know, a couple hundred dollars a month. Oh, that's too expensive. I can't eat. You know, it's part of your food budget. You know, the junk food you're buying that you're spending $50 a month on, well, stop buying that and buy this stuff instead. And if you're really interested in that, you can go to firstamendmentradio.com homepage, and there in the left-hand column, you'll see a link. Here it is right here. In the left-hand column near the bottom, oh, you'll see the bottle there. It says Majestic Earth Ultimate. The bottle doesn't even look like that anymore. But you click on that there, and it'll take you to the Youngevity site. And so you can look it up there, the Ultimate Classic, and order it there. And any profit from that goes to charity, okay? I know because I set it up. It doesn't even go to First Amendment Radio. It goes to Full Life Crusade. You can see that on the page here. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes.